This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We continue our explanation of Bidayatul Abidi wa Kifayatul Zahidi by Abdul Rahman Al-Ba'li Rahimahullah. The author states, Faslun, new chapter, Al-Wudu, the chapter of Wudu. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, he states, Wal Wudu'u isti'malu ma'in tahurin fil a'da'i al-arba'ati ala sifatin makhsusa. Wudu is the usage of pure water, tahur water, upon the four limbs in a specific manner. Which four limbs? The face, the arms, the head, and the feet. Upon a specific manner, what's meant by that? That it needs to be in tartib, one after the other. And it needs to be with muwalat. You cannot have an alien long break in between the washing of these limbs. He then states, وَالتَّسْمِيَةُ وَاجِبَةٌ فِيهِ, and saying Bismillah is an obligation in it. When you are taking wudu, it's an obligation, it's wajib to say Bismillah. This is from the mufradat of the madhab. This here is the opinion of the Hanbalis and not the opinion of the Hanafis, the Shafi'is, the Malikis. That's why we state it's from the mufradat, it's something specific to the Hanbali madhab. And this matter, saying Bismillah at the time of wudu, it falls away if you forget or you were ignorant of the matter. What tasmiyatu wajibatun is an obligation at the time of wudu. Wa fi ghuslin wa tayammumin wa ghasli yaday qa'imin min nawmi laylin naqidin li wudu'in. It's also an obligation to say bismillah at the time of ghusl, at the time of tayammum, when you have awoken from the night sleep and you need to now wash your hand, it's an obligation to say Bismillah. وَغَسْلِ مَيِّتٍ, and when you are washing the one who has passed away. He states, وَيَجِبُ غَسْلُ يَدَيْ الْقَائِمِ مِنْ نَوْمِ اللَّيْلِ ثَلَاثًا بِنِيَّةٍ وَتَسْمِيَةٍ. If you were asleep and you woke up from this night sleep, it is an obligation for you to wash your hands three times with the intention and also with the statement Bismillah. Excellent. وَشُرُوتُ الْوُضُوءِ ثَمَانِيَةٌ. As for the prerequisites, the preconditions of wudu, then they are eight. انْقِطَاعُ مَا يُوجِبُهُ. The cessation of what obligates it. Whatever has broken your wudu needs to have stopped now. The woman in menses, the menses has to come to an end. The individual who was touching his private organ, well, he stopped doing that. Whatever breaks the wudu needs to now stop. Unless there's an excuse for that matter. Somebody has an open wound which is not stopping and this wound is gushing out blood and it's not stopping. That's a separate matter as we will discuss. But generally, انْقِطَاعُ مَا يُوجِبُهُ, that needs to stop whatever has obligated it. وَالنِّيَّةُ, you need to have the intention, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ, وَهِيَ شَرْطٌ لِكُلِّ طَهَارَةٍ شَرْعِيَّةٍ غَيْرَ إِزَالَةِ خَبَثٍ وَنَحْوِهِمَا. And this intention, it is an obligation for every form of purification except elimination of khabath. Remember, tahara is of two types. One is the removal of a state of impurity, removal of that state. So now you need to enter into a state of wudu or a state of ghusl. You need to remove your state. You need to remove yourself from the state of not having wudu, remove yourself from the state of janaba, etc. This is removal of the state of hadath. The other type of purification is removal of physical impurities. So the author stating intention is a precondition when it comes to tahara of hadath. But when it comes to tahara of khabath, removal of impurity, here intention is not required. There's some najasa outside on the floor. The rain comes down and washed it out and it's now pure, alhamdulillah. There was this garment of yours, you had it on the line and you didn't even know there was some najasa on it. And the rain came down and washed in it, made it clean. Alhamdulillah, your intention was not required for this matter. He then states, wal islamu, and Islam is also a precondition. Wal aqlu, you need to have sanity. وَالتَّمِيزُ discernment. Discernment is generally according to the madhab at the age of 7. You need to know what you are doing. You need to be of that age. Discernment. وَالْمَاءُ الطَّهُورُ الْمُبَاحُ. And you need to have pure, permissible water. It might be pure, but it doesn't belong to you, so it's not permissible. وَإِزَالَةُ مَا يَمْنَعُ وُسُولُهُ. And to remove whatever, removal of whatever prohibits it, whatever might provide and create a barrier between the water and your skin. So you have some paint on your hand, you have some dirt on your hand, you have mud on your hand, you need to remove all of that. It's a precondition for the validity of your tahara that you need to remove that, because it would prevent the water from reaching the skin. Wal istinja'u and istinja, as we've already discussed. وَفُرُوضُهُ سِتَّةٌ. And the obligations, the fara'id of wudu, they are 6, as mentioned in Surah Ma'idah. غَسْلُ الْوَجْهِ, washing the face. وَمِنْهُ فَمٌ وَأَنْفٌ. And part and parcel of the definition of the face is what? Is the mouth and the nostrils. So cleansing the mouth and the nostrils is part and parcel of the face. They are obligations. They are obligations. وَغَسْلُ الْيَدَيْنِ. And washing the arm, مَعَ الْمِرْفَقَيْنِ, including the elbow, an obligation. وَمَسْحُ الرَّأْسِ كُلُّهُ وَمِنْهُ الْأُذُنَانِ. Wiping over the head, the entire head, not a quarter, not a third, wiping the entire head. And part and parcel of the definition of the head is that the ears are also included, so we wipe the ears also. وَغَسْلُ الرِّجْلَيْنِ مَعَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ. Washing the feet up to and including the ankles. وَتَرْتِيبٌ, keeping this order. Keeping this order, washing these 4 limbs in this order as per the Quran is also an obligation. وَمُوَالَاتٌ, and not having an alien break in between washing the limbs. What's the definition of an alien long break? That if one limb dries before you've washed the next limb, then this is a problem. This is a problem. You cannot wash your face at 7 a.m. and then wash your arm at 8 a.m., etc. وَيَسْقُطَانِ مَعَ غُسْلٍ. And as for this order, or as for this muwalat, these are not required when it comes to the matter of your ghusl. They are obligations when it comes to the matter of wudu. Walhamdulillah. The author states, Faslun, chapter. Here he will be discussing wiping over the khuf, wiping over your leather socks. We will talk about what do we wipe over, how long can I wipe over, what's the concession period, when exactly do I start wiping over this sock, etc. What about bandages? What happens in that case? How long can I wipe over for that? We will discuss. Faslun. يجوز المسح على الخفين ونحوهما بسبعة شروط. It is permitted to wipe over the khuf and their likes. What is meant by and their likes? And their likes includes jorabain. So leather socks are your khufain and your non-leather socks are your jorabain. With 7 conditions. How many conditions? 7 conditions. The author states, لبسهما بعد كمال طهارة ماء. لبسهما بعد كمال طهارة بماء. That you have worn them after a complete purification with water. So you didn't put on these khufain after a tayammum. No. Rather, you put on these khufain after a complete purification with water, complete wudu, not half a wudu. You didn't wash one foot and put on the khuf and then wash the other and put on the khuf. No, a complete purification with water. Then he states, وَسَتْرُهُمَا لِمَحَلِّ فَرْضٍ. And these khufain or jorabain, they should conceal the obligatory area that you usually wash. So basically, they should cover the area from the tip of your toe up to and including your ankles. Having the ability to walk in them. وَإِمْكَانُ مَشِي bihima urfa, and they should not be, for example, made out of lead, made out of iron, made out of wood, that you are unable to walk in them. No, they must be able that you are able to walk in them. Then wathubutihima binafsihima, and they should be, you know, attached and fixed to your feet. Then he states, وَإِبَاحَتِهِمَا وَطَهَارَةِ عَيْنِهِمَا. They should be permissible, they should not be stolen, they should be pure, not made out of something which is haram, leather, etc. Then he states, وَعَدَمُ وَصْفِهِمَا الْبَشَرَةِ. They should not reveal the skin underneath, because they are the secondary covering, they are the badal. You are wiping over them because we are not washing the feet. But if we can see your skin, then what's the point on having this? Of having this type of covering. They should not reveal the skin. They should cover the skin. They should not be transparent. فَيَمْسَحُ مُقِيمٌ وَعَاصٍ بِسَفَرِهِ مِنْ حَدَثٍ بَعْدَ لُبْسٍ يَوْمًا وَلَيْلًا. Then he states, both the resident and the traveler of a sinful nature, they wipe after a hadath, having worn them for a day and a night. The period, for a non-resident, the resident, for a non-traveler rather, for a non-traveler, this would obviously mean the muqim, the resident. So the resident wipes over these khufain, jorabain, for a period of one night and one day, 24 hours. He also includes, wa'asin bisafarihi, and the one who is sinful in his travel. So he's traveling to do some sort of haram. This travel is not a permissible type of travel. Here we will not give him the concession like any other traveler of 3 days and three nights. No, you are a sinner in your travel. So we will not aid you and help you in your sin. Rather, you will only wipe over for one day and one night. And when does my time begin? My time begins min hadathin ba'da lubsin. That it begins with the breaking of my wudu after I had worn these khufain. So for example, Salman has taken a complete wudu. He put on these khufain after salatul fajr, and then at 8 a.m. he went to the toilet. 8 a.m. he broke his wudu, he went to the toilet. And then at the time of Salatul Zuhr at 1 p.m., that's the first time that he wiped over the khuf. According to the Hanbali Madhab, his time, 24 hours, began at 8 a.m. At the first time that there was a hadath, at the first time there was a breaking of the wudu after he had put on these khufain, that's when his time began. So from 8 a.m. today until 8 a.m. tomorrow, he would be allowed to wipe over it. Walhamdulillah. The author then states, وَمُسَافِرٌ سَفَرَ قَصْرٍ لَمْ يَعْصِ بِهِ ثَلَاثَةً بِلَيَالِهِنْ. As for the traveler who is not a sinner in his travel, then he will wipe over for 3 days and three nights. فَلَوْ مَسَحَ فِي سَفَرٍ ثُمَّ أَقَامٍ. If one were to wipe while you were a travel and then you became a resident, or you were a resident and then you left and you are now traveling, so you had wiped while you were a resident and then you became a traveler, or you doubted when the wiping exactly began, لَمْ يَزِدْ عَلَى مَسْحِ مُقِيمٍ. Then we stick to the certainty and you will only wipe the wipe of a resident, which is the 24 hours. Someone was wiping over his socks and then he traveled. This person will only get concession for 24 hours. Someone was a traveler and then he became a resident, only 24 hours. The individual who, 24 hours as the total, the individual who doubts, you know, when was, you know, the time that my time exactly, oh, shakka fi ibtida' al-mas, or he doubts, you know, when did I really start wiping, etc. This person also operates with the 24 hours. Why? Because that would be the certainty. We go with the lower of the two numbers. He states, وَيَجُوزُ مَسْحُ على جبيرة إن كان وضعها على طهارة. You are allowed to wipe over a bandage if you had put it on in a state of purification. SubhanAllah. So here, if I have a major, you know, wound on my hand, etc., according to the madhab, I need to make wudu first, then I need to put on the bandage to allow me later on to wipe over it without requiring any other sort of purification. إن كان وضعها على طهارة ولم تجاوز قدر الحاجة. And also, if you have a wound which is 5 centimeters wide, you don't put a bandage which is 20 centimeters wide. You only put that which is required, because the other sections of your arm, they would require washing over. You are only allowed the concession over the area that you are, that you have the bandage for the need for that concession. وَإِنْ جَاوَزَتْهُ أَوْ كَانَ وَضَعَهَا عَلَى غَيْرِ طَهَارَةٍ. But if the bandage was extended 10 centimeters, etc., 20 centimeters, so it's beyond its requirement, or you put on the bandage without taking a wudu, without entering into a state of tahara, وَجَبَ نَزْعُهَا, you need to remove it. At the time of wudu, you would need to remove it. But فَإِنْ خَافَ ضَرَرًا تَيَمَّمْ. But if you fear that this will harm you, if you fear that your health would deteriorate, if you fear that the wound would worsen, then you are allowed to continue. فَإِنْ خَافَ ضَرَرًا, if you fear harm, تَيَمَّمْ, then you need to take a تَيَمَّمْ مَعَ مَسْحِ مَوْضُوعَةٍ عَلَى طَهَارَةٍ مُجَاوَزَةٍ مَحَلْ الْحَاجَةِ. Then you will need to take a تَيَمَّمْ, and you will need to wipe over that bandage. So I'm wiping over the bandage, why do I need to take a tayammum? You need to take this tayammum because you have wiped over the area of the concession. And you need to take the tayammum in the case where you didn't enter this tayammum upon, you didn't enter this bandage upon your arm in a state of tahara. So because of that, you need to also take a tayammum. There's double required from you. You need to take the tayammum, and you also need to wipe over the entire bandage. وَإِنْ ظَهَرَ بَعْضُ مَحَلِّ فَرْضٍ, and if a portion of the fard, a portion of the obligation, أو حصل ما يوجب الغسل, أو انقضت المدة بطلت الوضوء. If, for example, a portion of the obligatory part, your ankle, some of your toes, etc., were revealed. So this is the fard part, this is the original part which has become revealed. Or something which necessitates ghusl occurs. You slept with a wife, you're in a state of janaba, you went to sleep and you had a nocturnal emission. So here you require a ghusl. Jayid. Or the time period expired, your 24 hours expired, or your 3 days, 3 nights expired, then your wudu is invalidated. So somebody was wearing his khuf that he had wiped over, but he removed it because his foot was itching. He removed it, his wudu is broken according to the madhab. Also, this teaches us, informs us, that this wiping only helps us when it comes to wudu. But as for ghusl, no, it cannot assist you with regards to a ghusl. Wiping over the khufain, wiping over the jorabain only assists you, helps you, is the concession for wudu. As for the bandage, that's a separate matter. Many differences between the bandage and the khufain. Another difference would be that we wipe over the uppermost portion of the khufain. We wipe over the uppermost portion of the khufain from the point of the toes, and we move upwards after we pass the ankles. And we wipe over most of the part, not every single inch of the uppermost portion of that sock. Whereas the bandage, we wipe over the entire bandage. We don't wipe over the under portion of the khuf, but for the bandage, we wipe over the entire bandage. Alhamdulillah. Faslun, invalidators of wudu. Nawaqidul wudu'i thamaniyatun. The invalidators of wudu, they are 8. According to the author here, خَارِجٌ مِّن سَبِيلٍ مُطْلَقًا, anything which exits the privates, the front or the rear, whether it be normal excretion, abnormal excretion, whether it's a little, whether it's a lot, whether it's pure, whether it's najis, you pass wind, that's pure, whether you urinated, that's najis, anything that exits will nullify your wudu. وَخُرُوجُ بَوْلٍ وخروج بول, the exiting of urine, أو غائط or feces, من باقي البدن, from any other area of the body. Allah save us, from any other area of the body, if there exits feces or urine, whether it be a little or a lot, your wudu is nullified. أو غيرهما كقيء أو دم. Here the author is talking about other types of najasa. So, vomit or dam, blood, which is najis. In fahusha fi nafs kulli ahad bihasabihi. So here, if there's any other type of najasa which exits from the body, from any other area of the body, this here, it might be najis, but it doesn't necessarily break your wudu. There's a small cut on your finger and some blood comes out. Does this break wudu? Question mark. As for the blood itself, it's najis. But does it break wudu? The author states, in fahusha fi nafs kulli ahad bihasabi. If this here is regarded as a lot, if it's regarded as a lot by the individual, if he considers it abundant by a case-by-case scenario, as per the individual, if you regard that as a lot of blood, then for you, this is a nullifier of wudu. Somebody else, it might not be a nullifier of his wudu. وَزَوَالُ عَقْلٍ وَزَوَالُ عَقْلٍ. And if you were in a state of unconsciousness, right, you lost your senses, except إِلَّا يَسِيرَ نَوْمٍ مِنْ قَائِمٍ أَوْ جَالِسٍ. Except the one who dozed off while standing or sitting. You go for Salatul Jumu'ah and you are seated there and you begin catching fish, mashallah. And so here this is light sleep and you were seated, your wudu is fine. Or you were standing up while you're in Salah and you dozed off slightly while you were standing. So two conditions. Number one, it must be that you are seated or you are standing and it's a little bit of sleep, your wudu is still fine. Walhamdulillah. Washing the deceased, but the opposite would mean if you are lying down and it was a little bit of sleep, your wudu is broken. You're lying down and it's a little bit of sleep, your wudu is nullified. Washing the deceased or a portion of the deceased. Wa ghuslu mayyitin aw ba'dih. Washing the deceased. This is also from the mufradat of the Hanbali madhab. Specific to the Hanbali madhab, you washed somebody who had passed away. You did the actual washing, not just the pouring of water. You washed him, Jayid. So here you wash the deceased, your wudu is nullified. Or ba'dihi, or a portion of his body. You only wash the face and the feet, your wudu is nullified. Wa ghuslu mayyitin aw ba'dihi wa aklu lahmi ibilin. Or eating the meat, important, the meat, the flesh of the camel, even if it was raw or if it was cooked, this is walaw nayyan ta'abbudan. This is a matter of ta'abbud. This is a matter which is purely devotional, that we do not make qiyas. So if, for example, you ate another portion of the ibil, of the camel, you ate the liver, you ate the spleen, you ate the heart, here your wudu is not nullified. But it's only the flesh of the camel which will be one of those invalidators of your wudu. The meat of the camel. وَشُرُبُ لَبَنِهَا وَمَرَقِ لَحْمِهَا. If you drank its milk or the maraq, etc., the stew, this here will not nullify your wudu. وَمَسُّ فَرْجِ آدَمِي. And touching the private organ of the human being, the front or the rear, this is a nullifier of wudu. وَمَسُّ فَرْجِ آدَمِي مُتَّصِلْ أو حَلْقَةِ دُبُرِهِ. Whether this private organ must be attached to the human being. The private organ which is attached to the human being, you touching the front or the rear will nullify your wudu. أَوْ حَلْقَةِ دُبُرِهِ. Or the rear exit, as we mentioned. وَلَوْ مَيِّتًا. Even if the human being has passed away, this is a nullifier of wudu. بِيَدِهِ. With your hand. So if you touched it with your elbow, etc., with your foot, doesn't break wudu. But you touch the private organ of a human being, and this private organ is attached to the human being, this is a nullifier of the wudu. And it doesn't matter whether this human being is young, old, alive, dead, your own private organs, another's private organs, etc. Doesn't matter whether it was halal for you to touch their private organ or haram for you to touch their private organ. All of this here, these are nullifiers of your wudu. لا مس الخصيتين, but touching the testicles, this is not a nullifier of the wudu. ولا محل الفرج البائن, and if, for example, you touch the area where the private organ was, so there's a private organ which has been removed, the private organ has been removed, and you touch that area, this does not break the wudu. ولمس ذكر أو أنثى الآخر لشهوة بلا حائل. ولمس ذكر أو أنثى, touching a male or a female, another male or a female, with desire, without a barrier. So two conditions, there was desire and there was no barrier, you touched with your hand, same with the private, you touch with the hand, then this here is a nullifier of wudu. وَلَوْ بِزَائِدٍ لِزَائِدْ وَالرِّدَّ, even if it was with an extra appendage to another. So this guy has an extra sixth finger on his hand, and he touched the sixth finger on the hand of another woman with desire, and it was skin on skin contact with the hand, etc. Then his wudu has been nullified. والردة, and leaving the fold of Islam, is also a nullifier of your wudu. وكل ما أوجب غسلا أوجب وضوءا, and whatever nullifies the وَكُلُّ مَا أَوْجَبَ غُسْلًا, whatever requires you to take a ghusl also requires you to take a wudu, except death. So we require making a ghusl for the one who's passed away, but we do not require making a wudu for the one who's passed away. فَإِنَّهُ يُوجِبُ الْغُسْلَ لَا الْوُضُو, because death requires that we make ghusl over you and not wudu, but rather it is sunnah that we perform wudu over you, walhamdulillah, but not an obligation upon the dead to make the wudu for them, but rather it's recommended. ولا نقض بكلام محرم, and if you speak that which is haram, you lied, you deceived somebody with your tongue, you backbit someone, you pass tales, carry tales, all of this here, they are haram, but they do not break your wudu. ولا بإزالة شعر وظفر ونحوهما, and if you remove your hair or your fingernails, etc., these are not matters which require you to take a wudu or a ghusl, they do not break your wudu, etc. ومن شك في طهارة أو حدث ولو في غير صلاة بني على يقينه, and if someone doubts with regards to his tahara or his hadath, whether he's in salah or he's out of salah, this person should build upon his yaqeen. That certainty is not removed by doubt. Brother Salman, he knows that this morning when he woke up, he left home, he's now come to work, he thinks to himself, did I take wudu before I left home or not? Did I take a wudu or not? So he's got doubt with regards to making a wudu. We say the default is, the certainty is, you don't have wudu, you need to take a fresh wudu. Someone else, he's taken a wudu, he says, definitely I know I made wudu, but I doubt. Did I pass wind? Did I not pass wind? Did I pass wind? Did I not pass wind? We say, what are you certain of? I'm certain I had wudu. Well, then you are uncertain about breaking it. Take this idea of breaking it and throw it away, that is doubt, and stick to your certainty, which is you had made wudu, walhamdulillah, and so your wudu is intact. And al-yaqeenu la yazulu bishak, certainty is not removed, certainty is not removed by doubt, walhamdulillah. Ya abdallah, ya amatallah, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, we will continue. The author then moves on to faslun, the chapter pertaining to ghusl. Hayyakumullah, barakallahu fikum.